Afternoon, Liam. How are you?
Good, Jake. How are you?
I'm very good, mate.
You've been out partying recently?
Why'd you ask that? Do I look like I look like dog shit, don't
no,
I?
No, you don't. But I've seen some stuff on your story of you at a festival.
I did go to a festival. With producer Sam.
Nice. Thanks for having
me. Lido Festival. Sorry about that, mate. Lido Festival. Mate. I don't know how to say this without us sounding like a bit like a knobbish, but I was at the festival. Mm. Me and Sam went to sort of snake a little bit of like further forward.
Yeah.
And
get in the mosh bit.
Not quite mosh, but at least sort of like bob up and down a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I get a little bit further forward, and I get past these like two guys, and they're like, "Excuse me." I'm like thinking, "Oh God, I've stood in front of them. I've stood on someone's foot." I'm like,
"Yeah."
"Excuse me, pub quiz pod." I was like, "You're joking." They're like, "Mate, pub quiz pub."
No way.
Every single week we go to a quiz, we call ourselves Quiz Mescal now.
Really?
They loved it.
Wow.
I didn't think that, honestly, I didn't think anyone listened, but like, I didn't think enough people listened that they'd bump into us. Same thing happened later in the pub. Someone was like, "Excuse me, just want to say, I love the pub quiz pod."
Really?
Mate, we've got definitely now, I have visual evidence of us having over two listeners.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, yeah.
Yeah. Well, if you saw Jake at, what was it,
Lido
Festival, or in a pub, then, thank you.
We love you to bits. Yeah, we love you to bits. You made our day.
That is amazing. Did you catch their names or anything?
I did catch their names, yes. I think someone was called Ben. I think someone was called Miles. I think someone else was called another...
It's a nice diverse...
Name, yeah.
Nice diverse listenership we've got.
Yeah, if you're a white guy listening,
Ben,
thank you so
Sam,
much.
Miles.
sorry that you didn't come to that, by the way.
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah,
it's all right.
I mean, it's
a bit underwhelming because I came down this weekend thinking, here we go, this will be a big one.
Yeah.
Producer Connor, who normally he is like, you can rely on him for a bit of a night out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's not drinking.
No, he's got gout, hasn't he?
So that's like, he's out of action.
Yeah.
That's when you turn to producer Sam, thinking, here we go, you're going to step up now.
Yeah.
No, I'm driving today, mate.
He's driving.
He didn't even come in. He's not even here today.
No. And then my flatmate Greg said, "Oh, I'm not sure if I can make it out."
Yeah.
You came for this big weekender and then it was just, you stuck with me.
Yeah, I'm seeing on your story last week, like, here we go, the lads are clearly on good form at the minute.
Out, you actually said to me, "Oh, can't wait to have a bit of that action."
Yeah, I'll be right involved in it this weekend. No, just...
Well, do you know what? We're meeting someone right here, right now, who I think might hang out with us afterwards.
You might bring that sort of energy?
I don't know. He might have decided to think we're both a pair of pillocks and to say, "I'm out of here."
Yeah.
But it's very talented comedian Horatio Gold.
Wow.
You've given it a wow?
He's so funny.
He's really funny.
And also, he's a podcasting machine.
My worry is that he's going to come and see our setup and... Well, he's going to know what he's doing and we sort of don't.
Yeah.
But I also think he's going to be a very good quizzer as well.
Just
got that feeling.
Knowledgeable.
Big nerd energy.
Moustache.
Yeah. Should we go and meet him?
Let's meet him.
Joining our pub quiz team this week is a fantastic comedian and wild boy who could teach us a thing or two about podcasting. It's Horatio Gold.
Thank you
much. Mr. Podcast.
Mr. Podcast.
How many podcasts have you done this week?
I've done 11 podcasts
this week.
The last one. This is the final. This is the, when you're doing the marathon, this is when people are
you've,
giving you
You've
drink.
Genuinely done 11 podcasts this week.
Yes, definitely. Yeah, it's tough.
It's too many.
Have you got anything left to say?
No. You've got me, I'm a husk.
Are you at a point
where
you think back to
a very heavily formatted podcast? Yeah.
Do you think back to me?
Let's say
like,
you've masturbated six
where.
Times in a day.
Mm. Yeah.
This is the seventh wank.
Yeah.
So
and
that's
also,
where
you
you're
can't
at.
Decipher between
Imagine
the
Wednesday,
fourth
Liam.
And the fifth. Yeah. You can't decipher between the fourth and the fifth, it just blurs into one.
Exactly.
I don't know what you were watching.
The problem is, I keep telling the same stories. That's what's really.
Yeah.
And I don't know which podcast I've said it on, you know. But don't worry, I'm excited for this.
What's the spec? No, you're not. What's the
spec?
No, you're not.
Come on.
What sort of podcast have you been doing this week then?
My podcast.
Oh, okay, fine.
Yeah,
okay.
Boring. It's not like loads of other people. It's just mine.
Just sort of like that BBC bite-sized thing you do about history.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I know the one.
You've got a fantastic TV voice, by the way.
Do you really think
it's
so?
Brilliant.
He's very showbiz, isn't he?
It's great. I mean that as the biggest compliment in the world. I think
some people find it very disgusting and off-putting.
No, it's brilliant.
Thank you.
It's the tone, because there's lots of different ways to do it.
It's yin and yang, though, isn't it?
Could you do BBC News on the ground in like Israel, Iraq? Could you do that?
Yeah, happy to. Jake Bardwaj, Baghdad. BBC News.
That's fucking brilliant. That's good stuff right there.
That's good stuff.
That's serious. And you could be saying absolute nonsense, but
you've
got an authority to that voice.
Yeah.
I'm on the ground in Syria. Horatio Gould, BBC News.
That's very good.
Yes.
That's very good.
I love it.
Something I've quite enjoyed recently that I really love is you know the journalists that are like not quite by Downing Street, but they're watching the Prime Minister go in. Does the Prime Minister think that he's a bit of a prick? Does the Prime Minister think that he should apologise? That sort of voice.
Yeah. Because they can't do this sort of like authoritative thing. They're still shouting it. But they still have a little bit of
voice
it.
Voice sort of cracking a bit.
Does the Home Secretary think that those his trousers could give a bit more give? Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, sure.
Should trans women be allowed in gender-neutral toilets?
Sorry, can't ask the question. Can't walk in. Horatio, look, we know you're a busy man. I mean, we sort of always had the impression you were a busy man, but then when you turned up and you've always done 11 podcasts, we know you're a busy man.
But I'm free for the rest of the day.
So. Oh, yeah, we're getting fucked up.
Yeah.
There is quite a Ketty vibe in the air today, isn't there? But anyway...
I didn't get any of that.
Did you not?
No.
Okay. shit.
I don't mean to cut the legs out from there.
That's very Ali Woods of you, wasn't it? I don't feel that. Don't know what you mean.
And what did you mean by that? Doing Emily Makers, picking up the fucking cruncher.
So does the Prime Minister think it is quite a Ketty out here? Horatio, we always had the impression you might be a busy guy. We imagine now you're down for the podcast. Great. But turns out you are a busy guy. Do you have time? I mean, I'm sure the answer's no, but do you have time for pub quizzes?
No, I'm not a big pub quizzer. I was at a pub quiz a week ago.
Yeah.
I think do you know what? I thought I was above pub quizzes.
Yeah,
I'll be honest with you.
I can see that. Yeah,
and I thought, but then I went there and I struggled a lot more than I thought I would.
Oh, okay.
Sort of like early England football, where they thought they were above playing international football, and then they played Hungary and they got beaten 6-3. That was me going to pub quiz. I was like, I'm not above this.
Iceland game happened. It was like we need to have a long hard look at ourselves.
That's kind of me with pub quizzes. So
I'm
coming
around.
You
want to try?
And I've been on the circuit gigging for kind of 10 years now. I'm only starting to slow down on like open mic gigs or doing like gigging 5 times a week. I've only just stopped doing that.
Genuinely, you've been doing like 4 or 5
sort
a week
of, I mean, because it's
years.
Like from like uni till only recently I've started like only gigging when I want to a bit more. But before it was like 4 or 5 times a week. So I'm in a pub every night. So the idea of a pub quiz, normally I'm gigging or it's just like I don't want to be in this room, the top room of the pub, which is where all my gigs have been
and
for a fucking decade.
Shit.
Basically, if I'm doing a pub quiz, you better be fucking recording it.
Genuinely, so 5 nights a week in pubs doing comedy. Are you boozing every one of those?
No, you can't.
You can't.
I mean, it's not the 90s. The 90s is amazing when you hear stories. Because comedy's changed a lot, but you speak to comics in the 90s, it's like... Firstly, there was 15 comics, all fat white blokes, and it was like, because they didn't have to work in the same way.
Yeah.
You'd be passed out from Monday to Thursday. You'd wake up, you'd have the same 20 minutes you've been doing for like 10, 15 years. You'd stumble in to do like 3 jonglers a night on a weekend. You'd do like 6 jonglers. You'd walk away with £900 cash in the 90s.
Because it was
in
cash.
So that's like 10 grand.
That is, that's
and then after
pounds.
Like drinking your way through club comedy for like 5 years, you had like 500 grand, you'd buy a massive house and it'd be brilliant. But now it just doesn't really work like that, so you can't. There's too many, everyone's
these
doing.
Days you have to move in with Paddy Young.
You have to move in with fucking Paddy Young. It's a fucking nightmare.
Horatio, do you have an interesting fact for us? We'd like to ask our guests
for a
good fact. I bet you're gonna have some great ones.
I can see you whipping out some good facts at parties.
Ooh, what's a good fact? Fuck me.
Should we have a team name first, and then?
Oh fuck! I haven't thought of that either.
Okay.
How about the Boring Men?
I would love that because you know what? So many team names. So I know I bang on about it a lot, Liam. I'm sorry, but I've not met Horatio before. You might not know. I've run pub quizzes for a very long time, and there's some sort of like thing internally where people feel the need to sort of impress with the pub quiz team name. I think just saying, look, we're Boring Men and we're here to answer questions and actually we're going to get a kick out of it. That's okay.
Just be,
that's okay.
Respect
what's,
that a bit
what
more.
What are some highlights you've seen in your many years as a
mate,
quiz
it is honestly just a list of lowlights. It's a list of like people thinking they're the first person to think of Christina Aguilera. People thinking they're the first person to think of Kwizza Kabusi. And
what about
then,
Quizbola,
I've not heard, to be fair. Quizlamic State, I've heard a lot.
Interesting fact, if you come to you.
I've not been thinking about that at all either.
No, yeah.
I think I was going to come maybe at the end.
Oh, right.
Is that all right?
That's never happened before, but yeah. No, well,
put a team name at the end.
We'll change the entire format, brilliant. Well, the whole thing's fucked, but yeah, fair enough.
You're not going to give us a fact then?
Well, I can't think of a good one.
Oh, okay, fine. So, Horatio, each week we get a real pub quiz
Right.
And it's sent in by an actual quizmaster.
Right.
Someone who
I used to be a quiz. By the way, I was in the running to be a quizmaster when I was really short on cash. Quizmaster Ray, who ran, basically he went on the Comedy Collective and he was like, stand up, so you need a bit of cash, you can become a quizmaster. Mm. But it was like 50 quid, but I needed the money at the time, right?
Yeah.
And it was, I very nearly did it, but it was basically, and I still have the text from Quizmaster Ray when I had to retire from quizmastering. Because I did some at uni and I was like, I have a bit of history there, I've been a stand-up for a couple.
Amazing.
This is like 2-3 years in, I've been like a stand-up, I'm like, I could do a bit of quizzing on the side. And then he told me to go an hour and a half out of London, but I have to buy my own mic and speaker.
Yeah, I've
potentially. All you have, it's basic, but I'm not rocking up. I'm already rocking up to bomb at these pubs for stand-up comedy. I'm not rocking up there with my own mic.
Yeah.
On my own. It's not set up with my own fucking boombox to do a pub quiz. People don't want to hear it. That is fucking humiliating.
Oh God,
so I had to message to quiz. He kept giving me offers. And then I had to retire. I said, quiz, Master Ray, I'm really sorry, man.
So you were retired.
But also,
I'm a retired quizmaster. I barely started, to be honest.
He's a retired interviewed potential quizmaster.
Yeah.
The problem with that setup,
I did
setup,
two quizzes
though,
at uni. I hosted two quizzes at uni. So I've hosted a quiz.
And you wrote those questions?
No, fucking... Well, I'm a fucking nerd.
Have you seen yourself? Sorry, the guy who runs a history podcast isn't a nerd. So every week we get a real pub quiz sent in by a real quizmaster from somewhere in the country.
Brilliant.
Our quizmaster, well, is actually brilliant, Horatio.
Sorry, I didn't do that. Sorry, it's been a long week, but I realised that was
great.
That was so cunty. Brilliant.
Our quizmaster this week returns after their last quiz received an incredible 15 out of 15 from Joseph Charm. Do you know who Joseph Charm is? He was on our podcast. He came, he got to the final of Britain's Got Talent. Got to the final of Britain's Got Talent, this guy. And he came on the podcast, he got 15 out of 15. First person to ever do it.
That's unbelievable.
It's incredible. Yes, and it was all down to Mark, who has sent his quiz in again. He runs his quiz at the Phoenix in Raynham in Essex. His quiz runs every other Tuesday at 8 p.m. We don't know which Tuesday, which rotation of other Tuesday it is, so just turn up.
How long have you been a quizmaster for?
I started quizzing when I was about 22, it was about eight, 9 years.
Right.
8, 9 years, yeah.
You're in.
I'm in, but...
You're a proper quizmaster.
I'm in, but I don't know if I want to be in.
Right.
I think I want out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a high ceiling.
I'm hooked to it.
Was it like hosting the wheel? Is that like...
It's that standard,
That's the top end.
I wrote questions for the wheel for a while, and it was like, there's, you've got to write for a specialist subject, and people come on writing their specialist subject.
Right.
And Dermot O'Leary was coming on. They were
short
like,
guy.
Like, Jake.
Well-dressed.
Massive cock.
Is he? Hung like a hole?
Bulging beyond belief.
Hold on,
Dermot
I just
O'Leary.
Want to say, short guy. I'm just, as a tall guy with what looks like...
A decent cock.
No.
Oh.
No. It's not a decent cock.
Yeah.
It's slightly below average for my height. What no, hold up.
I've got a glimpse into him, age 65, end of a pub. No! It's not a decent cock.
Hold up, it's not a small cock.
I don't want average?
It. No, hold up, it just I need to get this clear.
Yeah, go on.
I'm 6'3".
Yeah.
It's a bit disappointing.
Slightly short change.
Yeah, but it's a perspective thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, obviously, Dermot O'Leary's come like a horse, he's 4'8".
Yeah.
Fucking his third leg,
it's
of course.
It's the girth, man. It's the girth. Like,
how important is
he's,
girth?
He's just...
apparently, it's all about the girth.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
important to who?
How important is the girth, actually?
Yeah.
I don't really know.
Right, no, well, I'm not even dealing with that insecurity.
He's able to stand with
on
just
leg.
A natural bulge. That's the thing with Durban.
Right.
That's
he wears very tight trousers. He's very short. I'm just saying, I don't have... I've no... You can't write home about my hog.
Yeah.
Right? In a lineup, you wouldn't notice it on either side of the spectrum. It's probably slightly below average for my height, but for global average, I think I'm doing all right.
Well, don't bring us into it.
Is the average 5.5?
Don't bring us into it, all right? All right. Why are we talking about Dermot O'Leary?
It did sound then like I was saying I'm a small cock. It's not a small cock.
Yeah.
It's slightly disappointing for how tall I am.
Yeah.
I think we found the team name. Slightly disappointing for how tall
I
am. I
just want to make that clear. Because I think... Me talking about a lot implies that I have a tiny cock. I don't have a tiny cock, and I need to make that clear. It's slightly below average. You wouldn't pull it out of the lineup on either side. You've seen the three guys who went on this morning talking about their micro penises.
Yeah,
it's one of the greatest interviews
of all
time. Snap, crackle, and pop. Eamon Holmes is there with his wife. No one's ever looked like they've got a bigger cock. Wouldn't you love to interview three guys with a micro penis? Like, imagine you two have come on this morning.
Why is it us two?
No, just imagine. Like, look at
how is it us two
suddenly,
again?
Suddenly, if you've come on here, the only reason you're on here is because you've got unbelievably tiny cocks. Best position in the world as a man. You two have come on here. I'm asking you some questions.
Yeah.
So what's it like?
You won't be crossing your legs.
Yeah, no, no.
Maybe I'm fine. Yeah.
So what's it like having fucking tiny cocks? Because I tell you what, I have fucking no idea about that.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell us some more stories about these tiny cocks? Because I honestly, I'd love to hear it because I couldn't fucking imagine it.
I was just imagining the three of them in the green room, just being like, are you on for the... No, I'm doing the fashion segment. Oh, sorry, are you...
Yeah,
I'm the...
What are you on for? Cool.
They definitely have to sort of stick in a group in the corner, wouldn't they?
Well, I think it was more embarrassing being as a group. I don't know why.
Yeah. No, what because it? It's like we are, because it's a collective of like,
we've never met. We've never met.
Because one all guy going with a tiny cot is heroic final stand.
Yeah. It's three of them. Strict. It's like, oh, they're the small cock boys.
Yeah, it's more like, I've got a tiny cock. I'm on my own. Yeah. I'm the only man admitting it. When you're like a queue of like, we've all got tiny cocks.
Yeah. And also you've been put
together. Sorry, Eamon, I'm flinching every time Eamon moves. Fucking hell, don't take my eye out with that fucking hog.
Weirdly, soon after that was when Eamon and Ruth got divorced.
Yeah.
So, let's start the podcast. Please. Here we go.
So, round one from Mark in Essex is general knowledge.
Go on.
Round one, question one. What is the name given to the semi-solid tissue that may be
semi-solid?
Found within the spongy positions of the bones?
Nothing's wrong. I just love it, spongy positions of bones. The semi-solid tissue that may be found within the spongy positions of bones. Cartilage, isn't it? Is that cartilage?
Yeah, I'd have thought.
Wait, are we all doing it as a team then?
Yeah.
What is it? That's the format.
Yeah, told you that earlier. cartilage? Yeah, that sounds about
right. I think so.
That's about right. Okay, question number two.
What is the name given to the transition in identity and self-confidence that may occur in individuals between the ages of 45 and 64?
Midlife crisis, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was menopause.
My dad dyed his hair blonde, got a sports car.
Did he?
Yeah. Flipped it.
Sports car is classic, isn't it?
Yeah, he flipped it, and if I was in the car seat with him, I would have died.
Seriously,
yeah. He completely totaled it, and he has 9 lives. It's amazing. He's like, he walked with his traction on his nose, but it was going on the motorway. It was quite wet. He just moved like that, flipped upside down, slid for 100 meters upside down, hit a lamppost. Come in, it's absolutely unbelievable.
That is incredible. Wow. And he just walked away with nothing.
Yeah, and I was meant to be going, because we were up with my parents divorced, obviously.
Sorry about that, mate.
Yeah, no, it's all right. Fucking hell. Just thinking about it now. Because people think, oh, he's never been through anything. Guys, my parents divorced.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, everyone's like, he has so much privilege, you know, and they don't even know that my parents divorced. Do you know how few people's parents divorce?
It's mad. Like,
How old are you at the time?
I was 12 years old.
Oof, that's the worst age.
Oh, yeah. That was actually quite young. That is tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
I was 16, so I was a little bit more.
Oof, that's tough.
You
could maybe put like a coffee link or like a Venmo link.
Yeah, buy me a coffee just because my
buy
parents.
Buy me a coffee because his parents divorced.
Yeah. My parents got divorced. That is incredible. I'd love to see the fake photos.
You won't believe how fucked the car is as well.
And was he genuinely fine?
He was genuinely fine. It's amazing how you.
Wow.
And the seat that I was meant to be in just fucking.
Yeah.
And are they with other people now?
Well, this is at the time when they're divorced. It was just down. My dad is with a much younger Russian woman.
Is he really?
Called Tatiana.
Tatiana?
Yeah.
Sort of like...
Yeah, he lives in Indonesia.
It's what you would write in a
Russian girlfriend. Yeah.
He's a sitcom character.
Yeah, he's a sitcom character. And also, when all these TikToks about, aren't dads like this, my dad's like, none of your dads, basically, ever. You know, when he comes over to your house, he's checking, like, what's this made of plywood? My dad's never been to one of my flats.
Yeah.
He wouldn't dream of it. So I don't have a...
Seriously?
Yeah, I don't...
He's going, what's this made out of? Yeah. Oh, a 20-year-old Russian woman.
Brilliant.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. I struggle to talk about my dad on stage too much because it's too much explaining to him. Because my parents got divorced. This is me on Diary of a CEO. And then, Stephen, you'll never guess what. They split up.
What is the English name for red Bordeaux wine?
You'll know this.
What's the English name for red Bordeaux wine?
Merlot?
A bottle of bloody plonk. Merlot.
Because they're just different grapes, Merlot and Bordeaux.
Yeah.
Merlot's the grape, Bordeaux's the region.
I thought he'd come alive at this question.
Yeah.
My dad is a big wine guy, but he has no taste. Like, his taste buds are fucked. So he just does it off vibes.
We don't know the answer. I mean, one of my pet peeves whenever we do these is not putting any answer down to anything.
What's the English name? Say something. Red Bordeaux wine.
House Red.
I met someone the other day who thought House was a brand. And they were going around places thinking House was like.
Oh, mate, it's always the cheapest.
Always just great value for
everywhere.
Money.
Also, they do it everywhere.
Also, they do every type of wine. They do lagers, they do beer. It is brilliant.
Number four?
Are we leaving Bordeaux wine?
Let's come back to it, yeah.
Number four, after Madrid, what is Spain's next most populous city?
It's got to be Barcelona.
Barcelona.
Surely, yeah.
I mean, it seems too obvious, so it feels like it might be something else.
What else could it be? So it's not going to be Bilbao. It's not going to be Bilbao. Let's go Barcelona. Lovely.
Barcelona.
If you add the three numbers that follow 50, what is the total?
Okay.
It's just a fucking...
It's 51.
You've got
52.
We've got to have a time round on this, because we're working out.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So it's 156. Six. Great.
So we just got to go back to what is the English name for red Bordeaux wine?
I don't know. Let's leave it. Do you know what? Fucking leave it.
Let's say, should we say rouge?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah, it's not right though, is it?
It's not right.
Okay, this is the answers now. What is the name of semi-solid tissue that may be found within the spongy positions of the bones? We said?
Cartilage.
I'm happy with that though, right?
Bone marrow.
Of course it is.
Oh,
yeah,
dear. After 50.
In a way, I feel all right about getting that wrong because now it's like any dream we had of the 5 out of 5 thing's gone.
It's gone.
Like it's not all on that red wine question now.
What is the identity crisis that may occur between the ages of 45 and 64? Midlife crisis.
Fine.
We got that.
Great anecdote about Horatio's dad as well.
Yeah, that was good.
That's worth doing.
The Bordeaux wine. We said rouge.
Rouge. We were thinking of various other things.
It's a claret.
Oh, okay. That's not that is a bit annoying because that's not out of the realms of us getting that.
Yeah, I don't think I'd have got that, but I've never asked for a claret.
I do think you would have got that.
Maybe, if we kept going.
After Madrid, what is the second most populous city in Spain? Barcelona.
Get it.
Correct.
Unbelievable.
And if you have the three numbers that follow 50, that is 156.
All right.
Three out of five. But
I mean, it's not terrible. It's not brilliant.
But I think we could have...
We could have got
both. It wasn't hard, was it?
It should have been like, a four. It's a frustrating one, that one. That really is. Round two is history.
Fucking hell.
We've got the guy for it. We've run a history podcast.
Follow that. Yeah.
I feel like everyone listening knows what Finn versus History is. I'm not going to explain it, but it's a very popular history podcast. It's been a huge success.
Yeah, sure.
How much do you know about history then? Loads.
I mean, I like history. I never studied it, which Finn didn't know before starting the podcast with me. And
what, you just sort of like, this guy has the air of someone who studied
history. No, he was like, you did a green history. I was like, no, I did film. He was like, he thought at least I had like some sort of academic grounding.
Yeah.
I was just kind of into it. We both listened to history podcasts anyways, and I always wanted to misremember episodes of Restless History as a podcast.
Yeah.
Right. I always thought it'd be funny just to like, I listened to one and you just chat shit about it.
Yeah.
And that's basically what we did, but...
Well, I've got quite high hopes of this then.
Yeah, I think it'd be like, 5 out of 5.
All three of us.
We've been doing more and more. We've just done a Russian Revolution series, 5 eps, and that absolutely. I actually read a book for it. I'm never doing that.
You read a book?
Wow.
Bloody hell. Okay, well, I'm feeling quite good about this. I like history. You like history. We all like history.
I mean, a lot of your content's historical.
Hey,
you have a very wry look on the past.
Yes. Question number one. Which Tudor consort's detractors pointed out imaginary defects such as a sixth finger on her hand, a mole on her neck, and other attributes of a witch?
Ooh.
Tudor consort. So, is a consort a wife, a partner, or a mistress?
I don't know.
What I'm immediately thinking is it could potentially be Anne of Cleves. Because I think that, like, basically... Henry VIII is like, I need another wife, go and find me one. They go to Germany, they find her in Cleves, bring her up, send a picture of her.
She was the Munter, right?
She was minging.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Rough, yeah. The picture comes back, she's gorgeous, she turns up, and Henry's like, oh, I've been catfished. And he's like, I find you physically repulsive, so I got divorced.
But it's a mad way, consorts detractors. Which Tudor consorts detractors?
So it's
consorts detractors.
Yeah, so her critics. Her consorts. Yeah. Oh, queen consort. So it's like you are
Oh,
the
right.
Queen.
Fine.
So, and, or it could be Anne Boleyn because they were saying, oh, she's shagged her brother. She's got a six finger. It's one of those two. It's either Anne Cleese or Anne Boleyn.
It's really up to you two, this. I'm not a history guy.
I think the fact it's a witch, not a munter.
Yeah, Anne Boleyn. All right, question number two. In November 2005, which drinks company replaced vanilla and lemon versions of its drinks with black cherry?
Coke.
Got to be in it.
Well, there's Coke Cherry, but there's not Coke Black Cherry. Black Pepsi Cherry. Max Black Cherry.
That's not bad. It's Coke or Pepsi, isn't
it?
Really?
Coke Vanilla's famous.
It's not Lilt.
But I think Coke Vanilla was...
They could have done Black Cherry for a limited time.
Yeah.
I think it's Coke.
Coca-Cola.
Coca-Cola. Question number three. The name of which book of the Bible comes from the Greek word for origin?
It would be Genesis.
Genesis. It's got to be Genesis, right? Any queries on that? We're happy with it.
Happy with that.
Question number four. Alex Gurko and Bernie Eccleston were top two what in the UK in 2023?
Eccleston got jailed for something. And he found an F1.
Wasn't he also like...
Tax of...
Didn't he also sort of like self-asphyxiate whilst he was having a wank? So were they like
brilliant.
They were there, maybe they were like top two sort of top two like BDSM wankers, I suppose. Like I don't know, like top two like chaining themselves.
Wait, did
up
he and, do that?
There was definitely a Formula One person, and it was in the news.
But what does it mean,
Sun.
Top two? How are you the top? How can you be the top two strangle wanker in
the
country?
Two what?
Like, are you one of the top two strangle wankers?
Yeah, is it because the most famous?
Top two strangle wankers. 94.
At a party.
Yeah.
So, working finance now, but actually 2004. Story, one of the top two strangle wanklers. Yeah. It's a thing we call it. Yeah. I don't know. Top two. Fucking hell. Who's Alex Gurko? Ever heard of him?
Never heard of him.
They're Formula One people. Fucking hell. Top two.
Could it be earnings? Something.
Could be
tax
earnings.
Dodgers.
Tax evasion?
Tax dodgers.
Do you want to try tax evasion?
I think tax evasion might be quite good, you know.
But is there a list of tax evaders, is it?
There could be, easily. That's something you can measure, right? More than strangle wanking.
The top two tax evaders, yeah. Top two tax evaders.
These figures on strangle wanking are just completely, they make no sense. Question number five. Following which man's death, Queen Victoria entered a deep state of mourning and wore black for the rest of her life?
It was
Prince Albert. Brilliant.
Right.
What is it?
I mean, we could have got all five. It's unlike. I think we probably three.
Did Prince Albert then? Was he the first one to pierce his cock?
Yeah. Where did that come from?
I mean, it must be him that did
it. It must be him, surely. But it doesn't sound very Prince Alberty if I know Prince Albert.
I don't think it does.
The German.
It's not a Victorian. It's not a very austere Victorian.
Is that is that part of the gig?
Aristocrat thing to do to
pierce your knob.
Pierce your
knob.
Maybe
it was an accident. Jump over a fence or something. Sort of caught it.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, okay. History round. We had high hopes. We thought this was going to be something that...
I've got an interesting fact.
Go on.
No, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Here we go. Native Americans don't have the balding gene. You know that?
Really?
So they don't get bald, and that's why they called white people when they came over eagles. Bald eagles. So it's literally the only time ever that like a Native American were bald is if at some point... White guys have been fucking around in the...
Talk about worth the fucking wait! That was brilliant!
Look at that. Long hair. So that as well, I'm going to top on top of that with genetics and stuff. Koreans don't have body odour, genetically. So the Korean genes that... So in Korean culture, on TV, if someone says, he uses deodorant, that means he fucking stinks.
He really stinks.
Yeah, that's like... Here, like, most people use deodorant, that's a normal thing. But if you're saying that's like the biggest insult is someone uses deodorant. Because no one uses deodorant because they don't have the sweaty BO.
Horatio, you've really come through that.
Fair play. I knew there'd be something like that.
There's something.
There's always something going on in there, isn't there? Something going on in there. How long have you had the moustache for?
I've had the moustache since I was 21.
Yeah, 9 years.
9 years, so now it's come into fashion. It's kind of like these people are going to do it for a bit, but they will shave it off and I'll still be here.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to have a moustache for life.
Yeah.
But it's not...
Did you have a moment when you were like, I think I'm going to have a moustache for life now?
Yeah.
Well, I had a goatee at one point, which is a disaster. Basically, I think all men's facial hair, to be honest, it's about what you lack.
right?
Totally. Yeah.
And look,
all of it.
Gorgeous man.
Like all
you
of
don't
it.
Need, no, mate.
You don't need
nothing. No.
Couldn't have it if I wanted.
And it's, oh no, but you're flexible.
Having the facial hair would be to compensate.
So most, you, don't need you to, know, you'll often see chinless wonders, big beards.
Yeah, okay.
And you could, because you hide it, you're hiding it. You get rid of that, they lose all their aura, that's right? Yeah. For me, I got a decent chin, I got a nose like a sawn-off shotgun, right? So the moustache, I got that, because that's what I need to distract from.
Right, okay. Yeah.
The goatee, that was half of it. I didn't need
this.
Got
a decent chin.
What's the upkeep of a moustache like? What's the upkeep of a moustache like?
Got to trim it occasionally, and also you've got, it's the contrast between the shaved and unshaved.
That okay.
So I have to shave this bit a lot. Clean shaving like 4 or 5 times a week. It's not ideal.
Wow.
Thank you.
Genuinely quite intense. Cheers. Yeah. Cheers. Thanks, appreciate that, man.
Cheers. Thanks,
man. So let's have a go and see what our answers were. I think we did going into it, we get in the running of five. Yeah. So, which Tudor consorts, detractors, did all those things? We had two on the go, Anne of Cleves, Anne Boleyn. We went Anne Boleyn. The answer was Anne Boleyn.
Oh, well done. That feels pretty good.
Did you see how I had blood potential up there? Did you like that?
Yeah, you can see you used to be a quiz master. That's unbelievable.
Question number two.
That's really giving me a bit of a rush there. That feels fine. This is what it's addictive about.
This is what it's about. This is what the format's about.
Fuck yeah.
Question number two. In November 2005, which drinks company replaced vanilla and lemon versions? We flirted with Pepsi. Yeah. No, I'm going to do the thing. Completely over the tension building. What is it? Hit me! Another one! It was Coca-Cola! Come on, let's go!
Come on!
Question number three. The book of the Bible. Right. There was no hesitation. Horatio was there. Bang, it's Genesis. It was Genesis.
Three out of three.
Question number four. Alex Gurko and Bernie Eccleston were top two what in the UK in 2023? We said tax dodgers.
Yeah.
They were the top two taxpayers. Oh, the top two taxpayers? Yeah. We've slandered their name.
Yeah.
No, it's because they were evading so much tax.
They're evading so much tax that they paid that much tax.
Taxpayers. Because they had to pay all their tax back.
We were so close along the right lines.
God, that's a heartbreaker.
Yeah.
That's a noble defeat, that one.
Yeah, really. I mean, we were in the right ball. It was tax related. Question number five. Following which man's death, Queen Victoria was depressed? Yeah. Okay, we get it. It was Prince Albert.
Brilliant.
4 out of 5.
That's not bad. 4 out of 5.
That's not bad.
4 out of 5.
Should we take a break from quizzing?
I think so. It's got quite intense, doesn't it? Well, yeah. I want to know everything about Horatio. I've been excited to meet him for a very long time.
I'm an open book.
I mean, Finn versus the Internet has been, undeniably, just like a fucking massive success story. It's just like, I assume not, but did you expect it to have as much traction as it did?
No, to be honest, like my favourite, the one I feel most sentimental about, the first season of Finn vs. the Internet, I find like that was when it was just me, Vittorio, and Finn. Like, literally, Finn was done with TV, but he put all his eggs in the TV basket for years and years. He was actively not a social media comedian. He looked down on everyone who did social media, and because he'd done everything right. And in his opinion, right, the last person to make it through before they drew up the drawbridge of the traditional media was Phil Wang. On Live of the Apollo. Phil Wang's first Live of the Apollo set.
I can see
that.
Do
you remember that?
I can see that.
Was that 2017? And he was just behind. So what happened, a lot of comics who were like in their 30s, the drawbridge suddenly came up and suddenly that route went. And what I really respect about Finn, because I work with a lot of like older comics, what Finn...
You say older, 35.
Yeah, ancient. So I work with a lot of like kind of pensioners who are, you know, going through their archives.
Yeah.
You know, kind of that sort of stuff.
Viral immaterial.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's amazing hearing stories about what the war was like, the Blitz, you know, stuff like that. But how he immediately adapted to the internet and just went hell for leather on it. But that first season, it was just me. I was hired as a camera guy. I was hired as a producer. Right, he didn't know at all I was even a comic.
Oh, wow.
And I'm kind of... I make films and stuff, but I'm kind of terrible technically. I can sort of do it, but there's lots of... If you're paying for me to do that, you'd fire me immediately, right? So it was just us three, there was no one else. So it looks kind of like shit, but it was us working it out. And the bloopers on that season is just like us slowly working out what the format is. And that's definitely my favorite season.
It's incredible that like, I mean, you, because I assume you, there was no money in it at the start. It was just like, let's just give this a go.
Yeah, we all did it for free at that point.
Yeah, I sort of say that to our producers. Just stay with it, because it might just be worthwhile soon enough. You never know. You never know. But not, you don't just have to finish the internet. I love Boys Gone Wild. Andrew is Andrew. I mean, I don't know enough about him. He seems like an enigma.
Yeah.
How do you know Andrew?
I went to school with Andrew. Went to uni with Andrew. So we've been making videos since we were about 11, maybe 12.
Your best friends.
Yes.
And you were doing videos.
I guess I probably should have said that first.
Yeah, yeah. I'd say publicly.
I'd say videos first, friend second.
Friend second, sure.
Yeah. That's more important.
My best friend is content. did you always know you were gonna do comedy? When did it become sort of like clear to you, oh, this is what I'm gonna do now?
When I was 4, I wanted to be a cow. A moo cow is what I called it. And then I wanted...
And that is a moo cow.
Yeah, it's a moo cow. I didn't really understand the difference at that age. And then I wanted to be...
Is that your Stephen Bartlett podcast moment? Yeah. Never really understood.
And then you'll never guess what, Stephen. My parents divorced. Stephen would be like, that's the most horrifying thing I've ever heard in this podcast. I don't know how you managed to make it through. It was like creative trial and error. I tried loads of stuff. I've always wanted to do something creative and sort of stand up. Stuck. I started at uni when I was like 18.
How did you get over the barrier of doing the first gig, the first open mic gig? How did that?
I did the first gig at uni, and it was kind of an easier way to do it because we had like a comedy society. It was like everyone. It's also, I had like 3 years to bomb in peace, which I'm very grateful of.
Nice.
So like they just, and I'm a big believer in bombing in peace. Like in Edinburgh. 1 year at uni, I did like a lot of uni showcases up in Edinburgh. My second year, I was doing 5 shows a day.
Wow.
And I once bombed 10 times in 36 hours. And the worst bomb I've ever done, still, was the last one of those 10. And then I was going to quit comedy.
Yeah.
Because of that.
I mean, yeah.
It must have been in your mind.
I think it was something to do with the bombing 10 times in 36 hours.
That'll do it. Yeah.
Just play with your mind.
Right. And I think I started losing my head. I started throwing the game a little bit near the end. But it was pretty harrowing. And then I was thinking of quitting. And then this older comic who used to be at our university, who like comes back to the uni showcases, like had like a really like emotional speech about like, no, I think you've really got something. And she really believed in something. It was really sweet. And I really appreciated it. And it got me off the ledge. And then he got done for being a paedophile. Like,
did he really?
Yeah, it was like outside an Asda car park. It was a Facebook live stream. Who are you here to meet? So, lovely story that.
So, fast forward 10 years.
Yes.
You've gone from that sort of like nervous energy to, don't blush.
Sure.
Your hot property.
Yeah.
Your hot property. Okay, yeah. I thought you might blush. You just said, yeah, I'm one of the best comics in the UK right now. So, Return of the Space Cowboy. Tell us about the show. When's it on? Where can people see you? Because I think if you're listening to the podcast, you already know who Horatio is, but like you need to go and see him live. Tell us more about the show.
Yes, I'm doing my second tour show. I'm just doing it, just announced a November extension. So I should have probably known where I'm going, but it's on my Instagram. I'm going to Cambridge.
Yeah, that checks out.
That's one. I'm going to Manchester.
Manchester, Bristol, Cambridge.
I'm doing London again.
Yeah.
Which I'm filming, so please come to that. Yes, I've actually...
Sometimes you see the London Eye and you think, God, this is a beautiful city.
It's amazing to be in this city, mate. Sometimes, yeah.
You forget.
Sometimes I see the M&M world and I'm like... This is what it is, living in London, man. This is the kind of experience I wouldn't have if I moved out of London, man. You know, sometimes you think, fuck it, I'm going to move. Yeah, and then you see the fucking, the giant green M&M and you're like, fucking hell, where would I get this apart from London?
Bro, Madame Tussauds.
Mate, unreal. Feel like a star. I think the Tube advert for Madame Tussauds was Dua Lipa singing, and then 4 like... stock image NPCs dancing along, and it says feel like a star. So where are you gonna get that? You know, because
it's the greatest city on earth.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest city on earth.
Greatest city on earth.
Dua Lipa singing, you're up there with your mates, you're pretending you're a Dua Lipa.
Yeah.
feel like a star.
Yeah.
But yeah, the show is my second show. I feel I feel like it's really come into its own recently, and I'm excited to do it. Even though I had a nervous breakdown trying to get it made.
Yeah.
Because I did my first show, and I was touring up until June, and then I had basically 2 months to get it ready for Edinburgh. And, you know, my girlfriend's there, she'll attest to this, I actually lost my mind. I tried to pull Edinburgh, I was like, this is going to be absolute dog shit. And basically, for the first time, I felt like it's not complete dog shit.
So, mate, that's amazing.
That's all you can ask for.
What's the cowboy?
I mean, you can quote me on that, it's not complete dog shit.
What's the cowboy thing?
So, because I hadn't written it at all, had no idea what it was about, I was doing my other show. That's the problem with Edinburgh. That's the problem with the way they structure your years. You're meant to do show after show after show, along with all this other stuff. And it's sometimes like it takes you more time. So I just finished one show, then I was touring it all of the next year. And then they're like, well, you've got to come up with another one, and you've got to take the photos, you've got to sign up for Edinburgh before you've written the show.
Yeah.
So I was listening to Return of the Space Cowboy, and what a fucking tune.
Absolute tune. Jamiroquai.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. So.
This is the return of the Space Cowboy. It's a planetary. Sorry, 2 seconds.
Sorry.
It's a planetary. Something, something else.
Yeah, no, you got it. That's most of the shows, but maybe you don't.
That's
come,
most of the show.
Yeah, maybe you don't need to come. Actually, you sort of covered most of it. But yeah, it's really what's so strange is that you have to do this high res photo shoot when you have no idea what you're even going to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
But I've managed to link it in sort of. But it's not about that. It's a fucking.
There's some cowboy stuff in there.
No, not really.
Okay, fine. Nothing. Some Indian stuff.
Indian stuff.
Yeah, cowboys, Indians.
Well, yes, I'd have racist jokes about the country of India, but that's like, that's nothing to do with cowboys or Indians. That's just kind of general stuff.
Speaking of racist jokes, is it true? Is it true you supported Frankie Boyle on tour?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Genuinely.
Yes, I did.
That's huge, man. Like, I mean, I think feel like we're a similar age.
Yeah.
30 something. Are you? You're 29.
I'm 28.
Okay,
I look a lot older than I am.
You look 40.
Yeah. No, but I look like I've been through a lot more shit than I have.
We're a similar age.
To be fair, my parents did divorce.
Sorry about that. I said, Sam, can you stop bringing that up, mate?
Can we get some music playing? Because
yeah, no worries. This is the return. But growing up, like he was everywhere on everything. Yeah. Like, I mean, we talked earlier. Like, I wanted to work in TV to work on these bloody panel shows, and they don't make them anymore. But he was doing interesting stuff. To be opening for him, did that feel like a pinch me moment, or we just took it in stride?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly use it as press a lot.
Yeah, good. Yeah.
I opened for him 3 times. Wow. but if you look at my poster, it looks like I'm always there.
Yeah.
I've opened for him every single gig he's done.
Yeah.
You know, Christopher MacArthur Boyd, great comic, he's opened for Frankie Boyle, I think, 170 times.
Right.
But if you do it once,
quality,
you can
still, not quantity,
you can still put it on the poster.
Yeah.
And then I did ask him for the quote on my poster. I did message him for that.
Yeah, people do that.
And he obliged
you. Yeah, so it's kind of like a beautiful story.
What's the next round?
Film and TV.
I studied film.
Yeah.
Oh, this is gonna be easy.
The issue one was pressure. This is even more pressure.
5 out of 5, easy. So,
does that mean you just like black and white films?
Excuse me. Yeah. Sorry, I thought you were gonna say, is that what you just watch telly the whole time?
No. Fucking hell, you had that locked and loaded.
Yeah. Defensive.
So you like black and white film subtitles? Fucking hell, that's the worst. Black and white and subtitles.
Imagine
both of them at the same time.
There was one film called Foglight. 45 minutes, right? Yeah. It's like a 70s avant-garde film. Type it in, watch it on YouTube, it's brilliant. It's just a film like a foggy, it's fog.
Doesn't sound
and
great.
The fog disappears to reveal a tree line. And it's all real time, so there's no cuts in it.
Wow.
45 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
It's not the easiest rank, is it? I think that's clearing now. There it is.
I mean, being a first year doing like a pretentious film theory degree, it means that when you're hungover, you have to get up at 9 to watch these films, but you're going in and out. So I've slept through more great films than you've watched in your entire life. Like, the amount of stuff I've slept through is like the canon that I've slept through. But you'll wake up and there's be like a fish fucking someone in the vagina, and you're like, what the fuck is this? You go back to sleep, you wake up, you know, it's fucking.
Never seen Jaws.
Have you not?
No.
Question 1, which tree line is revealed after fog?
Brilliant.
Which classic horror movie was remade with Jackie Earle Haley in a role made famous originally by Robert Englund?
Obviously tricky.
Classic
Robert
horror movie.
Robert Englund.
I don't know any of these people. A classic horror movie that was remade with Jackie Earle Haley in a role made famous. I mean, what is a horror
film?
Well,
it's Nosferatu is coming to mind, but I don't know if Jackie Earle Haley
was
in it.
What I was going to say, like, is it a horror film that has had very... Yeah, well, obviously it is from the question, but, like, what is a horror film that's had various versions remade? Nosferatu,
Carrie, there's been remakes of Carrie. There's been remakes of Suspiria.
Suspiria!
What was that?
Disturbia by Rihanna, but right. Suspiria.
Okay. No, I mean the 70s Italian art house.
So sorry, mate, yeah. I think Nosferatu... I think Nosferatu's a good shout.
Yeah, I don't think Jackie Earle Haley was in that, dear.
What are you asking her for? She's, for all intents and purposes, she's
yeah,
not
sorry,
here.
Yeah, sorry. That's annoying, because I think...
This is your round, mate.
Yeah. Jackie, I don't even know who either Robert Englund or Jackie...
Never
Earle.
Heard of him.
Made famous originally by Robert Englund.
Would it just be a classic? Could it be like Shining, like got redone, didn't it?
It did get redone.
Could it be that?
Yeah, for all intents and purposes, you're not.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. It's
put
not
a
the Shining.
Cork in
is
it,
right,
love.
The Shining. Is it the Shining?
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Omen.
The Omen?
Nightmare on Elm Street's an interesting one.
Yeah, Scream.
Because that's been remade. I'd like to go with that.
Has it been remade?
Yeah. I think it will be.
I think actually might be all right.
I think it's all you, mate.
No, you
sorry.
Have it.
I'm going to go
no,
for
no,
that.
No, sorry.
No,
I feel like...
There's been
love
so
one,
many.
Yes.
I feel like my passion for it made him think that I came up with it. It was Liam's answer.
Brilliant.
You know, it was Liam's answer.
You come up with the videos, you come up with all of them, right?
Honestly, this will... Because when you leave, you get your life. I get this now, and I just can't. Question number two.
Who first presented the ITV series For the Love of Dogs in 2012, featuring the animal inhabitants of the Battersea Dogs and Cats Home?
It's 2012. Yeah. I mean, you're a TV guy.
Paul O'Grady.
It's Paul O'Grady. Yeah.
Paul O'Grady. Sorry.
Yeah, that's you.
I felt like you were...
You probably fucking produced it, didn't you?
Horatio's writing. Yeah, I didn't. No. I didn't make that one. I have never worked with Paul O'Grady. I feel like he was a nice person. Gives good vibes, Paul O'Grady.
Yeah, he does, yeah. You might work with him soon.
He's dead.
I know. Number three, Russell Crowe played what type of sportsman in 2005's Cinderella Man?
Gladiator.
I don't know. I haven't seen
Athletic.
Cinderella Man. What can it be? Think of his build. 2005, though, he's pretty ripped.
For the audio listeners, Horatio's put his arm around me.
Yeah. At that point.
For the YouTube watchers, enjoy. I don't know. I've never seen Cinderella Man.
Yeah.
So,
right, let's take a stab then. I don't think it's going to be F1. I don't think it's going to be...
It's an American film. Oh. I was going to say, it's an American film. It might be an American sport, American football, baseball, but tennis seems quite neutral.
I think everyone was doing American football films around that time.
They really were. The Longest Yard, remember that one?
Yeah, got a film. Classic.
Did you say American football?
Let's go for American football. Do you want to write
it? Yeah, if you wouldn't mind.
That's all right.
I mean, it's quite a tough round. We might not make
right-handed,
double digit.
That's a shame.
For what?
Just... Question number four.
Who played Sergeant George Carter in The Sweeney, Arthur Daly in Minder, and Jerry Standing in New Tricks?
Fucking hell, this is a load of shit.
These are all of the shows that if you did have Sky as a kid, you'd scroll through, see it in the upper channels, and it'd be there with like Poirot and like Minder.
This is fucking boomer shit right here.
I had it for 2 years, and then we had to get rid of it because it was too expensive.
80s British TV actor. Fuck me.
Any ideas?
No idea.
There's a chance we only get one here. Let's move on.
Okay, and this is the final question.
We're
of
not
getting
double figures.
What RS has a seafood odyssey on TV as well as a Long Weekends and The Road?
He's done that. Horatio's done that thing that they do on Mastermind. They've heard the question. Like, I mean,
should we do the answers?
Yes.
Yeah. So the classic horror movie remade by Jackie Earle Haley. Was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Was
well
it?
Jake.
Liam. Well done, Jake. Liam, well fucking done.
You fucking pulled
that.
That's unbelievable.
Cheers, and you don't know this, but Liam has seen like 12 films.
Right, Michael Owen sort of numbers.
Yeah.
Do you actually know what films?
Not many, no.
Do you really not?
Not at all.
I think it's all the same, yeah.
I went through a bit of a horror film phase when I was about 12, but...
And fucking hell.
And I didn't even see that one.
No, 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 this is good stuff. I mean, you guys are quizzing all the time, aren't you?
He is.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. He's actually not that into it.
Once every 6 weeks.
Yeah. He's not that into it. I love him.
The ITV presenter for Love of Dogs, Paul O'Grady. We knew that one.
Yeah.
God, Russell Crowe.
Okay, this is not alright. This is alright.
Russell.
This is not alright. This is alright.
Guys, this is not alright.
What sportsman did Russell Crowe play in Cinderella Man?
American footballer.
What did we say? American football. Yeah. He was a boxer.
They're always fucking boxers.
Yeah. Cast a fucking action hero in a film. He's going to be a boxer, isn't he? Yeah. We actually probably would have been closer with Gladiator.
The actor who was in The Sweeney, Minder, and New Tricks.
Bang on, I know who he is.
What did we say? Well, we didn't get an answer, did we?
I bet it's a white guy.
James Nesbitt.
The name sort of does fit, actually. Dennis Waterman.
No idea. Never heard of that kind of my life.
He is David Walliams and Matt Lucas.
Okay, did
a sketch about with him in Little Britain.
Yeah, that's like, where I've heard of him.
Write a theme tune, sing the theme tune. Right. Do you remember that thing?
I don't remember that, no.
And it was about Dennis Waterman, apparently, yeah.
Yeah. So, what RS is a seafood odyssey on TV, Rick Stein?
This was all Horatio. Very,
so
very good.
So, it's another 3 out of 5.
So, we just scraped double digits?
I don't even know if we have, actually.
I don't know if we have, man. We've got three, three, and three.
Yeah, we get 10,
right? No, 3, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
So it's great double digits.
It's all right. How do you feel about that?
I was looking for 11 or 12.
I was as well. Yeah. I really... I'm not putting it on you. No. I think it was...
I'm not the best pod quizzer. I never have been.
Yeah, never claimed to be. However, that being said, Horatio, you may not have been the best quizzer.
Right.
But you've been one of our most... not favourite, interesting guests. I would say, like, normally...
Well,
normally, like, a subject will come up about, I don't know, like, national heritage site, and you'll have a story about a being in a park.
Yeah.
This time, something will come up, and you'll be like, yeah, so my dad once flipped a car, and I was basically supposed to be dead. I think that is what makes you probably a slightly slightly higher caliber of guest.
Yeah, I like to think so. Premium.
Yeah. We sort of like to review the quiz and the whole experience. Would you be up for doing
that? I think it was tough, but I'm noticing a pattern here that every pub quiz I do, I think this is really tough.
Yeah.
So I feel I might have to take some responsibility.
Yeah.
It might be some point. Because there's always questions of like, who could possibly answer that? But if it's every quiz, then...
But there is a chance here to review the Quizmaster. So the first bit of criteria out of 10 is playability.
I think, I don't like 80s TV stuff. I don't like too generational, you know? So I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
So I would say 3 out of 5.
Don't like generational stuff. Runs a history podcast.
Yeah.
don't make it too... Yeah, anyway.
Range of questions?
Range of questions was good, to be fair to them.
Yeah, it was all right, wasn't it? Yeah. For 15, you sort of spread it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then finally, just good vibes for the day.
Just everything.
Back to the producer.
Cecily, BB, the lights, the beer.
I had a great time. It's been a pleasure meeting you. I think you're both brilliant.
I think you're a great man.
A long career ahead of you guys, and I think I do genuinely wish you the best. And I'm a bitter old crone.
Last time we'll be seeing Horatio by
sounds. Yeah, I won't be speaking to you guys again.
Bitter old crone. I'm older than you, but
it's relative, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, do you not think we'll hang out again then?
Probably not. But no.
Is that for real?
No, I don't mean that. It's like a personal thing. It's just I didn't really go on with you guys. But apart from that,
wait. So what's the good vibes rating out of 10?
I'd say 9 out of 10.
Great.
That's nice.
We've improved it a lot.
90%.
Well, Horatio, we've absolutely enjoyed having you. We'd love to have you back. And
do you know what
could be good? Because we recently bought a fourth microphone.
Brilliant.
If you and Andrew ever wanted to come and quiz
I'd
together,
love to. I'd love
we'd
to
love
get
that.
Him out of the house.
Yeah.
Then also a thank you to Mark, the quizmaster from the Phoenix in Raynham, who runs his quiz every other Tuesday at 8 p.m.
Right, Horatio, let's hang out.